hello and welcome back to the Archaeology News Weekly. I am, as ever, your host, David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and so to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the main headlines from around the world are as follows. An excavation on Orkney Island gives us a clear picture of life in Neolithic Britain. Wicker Man tomb in Scotland starts to yield its Bronze Age secrets, and a 4,500-year-old arrowhead is found in the Burren excavation in Ireland. Back in Orkney, carving may represent human eyes and eyebrows. This follows on from a discovery of human figurine found recently. It also seems that rice existed as a crop 4,000 years ago in the Yangtze Basin of China. Back in the UK, an excavation on Iron Age Hillfort in Cheshire yields important finds, and Iron Age remains are also found at a port site in Essex. A huge cultic complex is unearthed in Bulgaria, and nearing the end of the saga, a controversial motorway in Ireland is now 90% complete. We have a cracking story here, where British monuments were part of an ancient navigational system, and in Scotland we start to re-examine hill forts and realise that ones like the Catahoun's hill fort in Scotland itself are part of a single entity. Finally, archaeologists fight to get back Neolithic Indian artefacts from private collectors. Archaeologists working in Orkney in Scotland have pieced together the most complete picture to date of life in Neolithic Britain. Excavation of the settlement on the island of Westray points to a people that farmed and fished together and probably even had their own village hall. Archaeologists believe that the links of Notland settlement could be as significant as Skara Brae, the UNESCO World Heritage Site on Orkney's mainland. It's thought that up to 6 extended families lived in links of Notland in 3 to 4 buildings, and that they farmed crops such as barley and kept livestock, including cattle and sheep. The most unusual thing about the site is that everything is in context, where the site is complete, with field systems, houses and everything in between. It was all sealed and preserved between the sand dunes, which can now be stripped away and leave a fragment of an ancient landscape to study. Archaeologists have found surprises in the Neolithic midden that covered the building. Tools made of animal bones, including spatulas, beads and enormous pins, similar to dressmaking pins, which probably held together their clothes. The evidence the archaeologists have already gathered shows parallels with Skara Brae, where the houses were built into piles of midden to provide stability and insulation. However, there's better preservation at the Links of Notland site, and a wider time frame as well, from the Neolithic right the way through to the Bronze Age. The Links of Notland contains a variety of well-preserved evidence for how people lived in Orkney over a long period of time, and what is particularly valuable to archaeologists is the combination of buildings, field systems, waste products and artefacts, which taken together can give a complete picture of how people lived, their diet, agriculture, farming and public interaction. Remember, you still have an opportunity to study in Orkney by heading along to their website here at www.orkney.uhi.ac.uk, then go /courses/archaeology. Archaeology at Orkney College UHI is based in a friendly and vibrant department that's surrounded by some of Britain's most important archaeological monuments and landscapes. With a growing reputation, and I've got to admit, you're also going to get a glowing recommendation from myself. You should think about just the opportunities that this presents. And don't forget to say that you heard about it from me. They'll be even more happy to hear from you. You may remember now a story from earlier this year when we had a bit of fun at the police's expense when they mistook a Bronze Age kist burial for a recent murder victim. Well, now the human remains uncovered at the burial site in the Highlands of Scotland are confirmed to be extremely rare and could provide new information about Bronze Age life. The site was discovered in February when landowner Jonathan Hampton was using a mechanical digger to clear peat from Langwell Farm in Sutherland. He found a stone kist containing parts of a skull and some bones and teeth. Archaeologists believe the body was partially wrapped in animal hide, or perhaps was even wearing furs. A wicker basket lay over its face. The find was reported to the police, who then went on to clear some of the kist's contents. Part of the skeleton was left and later recovered by archaeologists. A report from Glasgow University Archaeological Research Unit, which investigated the site, says that even in its partial state, this assemblage has the potential to shed valuable light on the person buried there and the materials used to dress the body. They may even have comprised objects and garments used in everyday life or that were created especially for the burial. The report also states that tests may be able to establish both the sex and age of the individual, while radiocarbon testing will provide a date range for the person's death. Investigations could also provide information on the materials used at the time, including species of plants and animals represented in the basketry, garments, and possible food remains placed with the body. The report states that conditions in the kist permitted exceptional preservation, and analysis should seek to establish exactly why. As it has the potential to tell a great deal about contemporary life and burial practice through elements that are normally lost to natural processes of decay. Andrew Pulls, a council archaeologist there, said that he says that the site is significant in terms of condition of the human remains. The body was pretty much intact and organic remains were still there to be found. A lot of information can also be gleaned from that. This is one of these amazing sites where the burial practice of the Bronze Age is so well preserved that we will be able to learn so much more. There are several known prehistoric sites within a few miles of the burial site, including a group of three hut circles and another possible burial cairn. Archaeologists have discovered evidence of what they say could be the oldest habitation site in Burren, County Clare in Ireland, dating back 4,500 years at the site of Cahirconnell. Director of the dig, Graham Hull, said that the team of archaeologists were literally jumping around with joy at the discovery of a stone arrowhead. They knew instantly the type of arrowhead as a time marker dating to approximately 2,500 BCE. The arrowhead was found by archaeologist Anita Penagli, and Mr. Hull said that the discovery was the star find of the dig. The remains of the post-built wooden house was also discovered, and the finely made arrowhead, together with hundreds of stone tools and pottery dating from the late Neolithic period or early Bronze Age, indicate that they have found a prehistoric settlement and that it could be the oldest habitation site yet found in the area. The Burren would have probably been much more populous than it is today, and people would have been farmers, as well as hunting for wild deer and wild birds. Also found in supporting the theory that it's a domestic site was a sandstone saddle quern and a granite grinding stone. As they say, only archaeologists can get excited about the discovery of a sandstone saddle quern. Now, back in the Orkneys, I told you that this is a rich archaeological location, didn't I? It's been revealed that a remote Neolithic burial mound may contain carvings of human eyes and eyebrows. The stone is inside the home of Papa Westry tomb. Historic Scotland believes it is linked to the find of a carving believed to be Scotland's earliest human face, dating back thousands of years. The small Neolithic sandstone human figurine recently unearthed at the Links of Notland and reported in an earlier edition of this news was to believe to date to up to 5,000 years ago. Richard Strachan, senior archaeologist with Historic Scotland Cultural Resources team, said that initial comparisons do show a similarity in use of this eyebrow motif and may point to the possibility that the markings in the cairn are meant to somehow show human eyebrows and eyes, as the style is very similar to that of the figurine. Alternatively, we may be seeing the reuse of a motif familiar to the carver and applied to a different context with a different meaning. This is highly intriguing and raises yet more questions about Neolithic people's attitudes to artistic representation of human beings. Images of people are very rare indeed, which some people believe suggest that it was considered taboo. But the discovery of the figurine shows that there were exceptions, and the lintel in this tomb may suggest that there were also situations where particular features could be shown. The home of Papa Westry's tomb, remote location, can only be reached by a private boat. But you could be right there now, of course, if you apply for one of the courses at Orkney UHI. You can't say I'm not plugging the place. Anyway, new findings indicate that farming in the Yangtze Basin in China existed as early as 4,000 years ago. Excavation in the Hubei province yielded a total of 402 artefacts, including carbonized rice, stone tools, pottery, bronze, jade, and porcelain. as well as a number of spindle whorls and drop spindles made of clay, as well as other textile manufacturing tools. There were also stone moulds and smelting remains, including slag. A variety of grains and seeds were also found, and experts believe that they may also have carbonised wheat amongst the plant remains. The Hubei Provincial Institute of Cultural Relics and Archaeology announced the results and the age of the finds to be between 1600 BCE and 771 BCE. There's been speculation in the past about edible rice production in the Yangtze Basin, but with the new results, these provide solid physical evidence that there was agricultural development in the area during this period. Habitats and Hill Fort team members have carried out an archaeological sample excavation on the Iron Age fort above Frosham in Cheshire, England, known as Woodhouse Hill. The aim was to provide information to help future management of the site, which is owned by the Woodland Trust. The excavation served as a training opportunity for more than 40 local volunteers, as well as students from Chester and Liverpool universities. All involved were given training in basic archaeological recording techniques under the supervision of professional archaeologists. Artifacts recovered from the work ranged in date from Neolithic flint tools from about 4000 to 2000 BCE to a glass bottle from only 1900. Habitats and Hill Forts is a 3-year Heritage Lottery Fund landscape project focused on the Mid-Cheshire Ridge, and it has been hosted by Cheshire West and Cheshire Council. Pictures and a summary of the results of the work at Woodhouse Hill are available for viewing on the Habitats and Hill Forts website at www.habitatsandhillforts.co.uk. The next investigatory archaeological excavation will be carried out at Helsby Hill. I should just point out, by the way, I mean the glass bottle was from 1900 AD and not BC, just in case anyone got overexcited there. Ancient remains have been unearthed as part of a 1.5 billion port project in Stanhope Lee Hope in Essex, England. A team of 40 archaeologists have discovered a salt extraction site dating back 2,000 years to the Iron Age as part of the excavation work. The remains, including buildings, pottery, coins and animal bones, were discovered by archaeologists working for the port developers DP World. Marcus Pearson, environmental manager at London Gateway, said that discoveries at the site will be on show at the local museum. The excavation is one of the largest to be investigated by archaeologists in Essex for over 100 years. Experts from Oxford Archaeology have been working on an area of farmland next to Mucking Creek, 3 miles away from the proposed dock. The site provides a unique history into late Iron Age and Roman salt making, which was a very important industry in the Thames estuary between 2300 and 1700 years ago. The work has to be done to compensate for mudflats lost when the Thames is dredged to allow for bigger ships. In a few weeks' time, the wilt will be then filled in and the seawall breached by the end of the year. Just make sure you get the archaeologists out first. A team led by Bulgarian archaeologist Professor Nikolai Ovcharov has uncovered an enormous cult complex at the ancient Thracian city of Perpekion in the Rhodope Mountains in Bulgaria. The complex consists of at least 9 altars, each 2 meters in diameter, located in an area of 12 square kilometers. They're dated to around 1500 BCE. The ancient Thracians practiced fire rituals on these altar sites, and remarkably similar rituals were also being carried out at the same time in ancient Egypt, Crete, and in the Hittite states in Asia Minor. Professor Ovcharov, who gave a special press conference in the southern city of Kardzali, said that the discovery of the cult complex may lead to the discovery of a connection between ancient Thrace and the Minoan Crete civilization. One of the altars Ovcharov's team found is built of stone plates, each having a thickness of between 1.5 and 2 metres. This is believed to be the largest altar in Southeast Europe. During their excavations at Perpekion, over the summer, the archaeologists found items from the late period of the Roman Empire, a medieval citadel dated from the 13th and 14th centuries AD, which is also a testimony of the city's remaining an important centre during all time periods. The controversial M3 motorway in County Meath in Ireland, which has been the subject of several years of protest, is now almost 90% complete, according to the National Roads Authority. At almost 60 kilometres of main motorway and a further 40 kilometres of link roads and interchanges, this is one of the longest motorways under construction in Europe. The M3 is not scheduled to open until July 2010, though. Controversially, the route runs just over 2 kilometres from the Hill of Tara and also is adjacent to the Lismullen National Monument and the hill fort at Rathlug. Protesters have occupied the latter two sites, blocking the road's construction at various times in recent years, most memorably in March last year, when conservationist Lisa Feeney shut herself inside a chamber at the bottom of a 33-foot tunnel at Rathlug for 60 hours. No protesters are currently blocking or picketing any part of the motorway, and Vincent Salafia of Tara Watch said that the action is unlikely to recur. "The frontline part of the campaign is pretty much over," he said. "There are people still protesting in the area, but not on the front line of the road. At this stage, any protest on the road would largely be a symbolic gesture, but that doesn't mean that the campaign is over for them." However, to place the sites in context, from the ground level on top of Hill of Tara, the new road cannot actually be seen, whereas the current N3 is visible, and the new motorway is actually slightly further away than the current road. The proximity of the motorway to Rathlug Hill Fort, though, is slightly more intrusive. The road does not actually go through the fort, of course, but skirts it incredibly closely, to the extent that a crib wall has had to be constructed against the fort to secure the earthen structure. The road also skirts the national monuments at Lismullen. However, as this site has already been preserved and recorded and is covered by a farm access road, there's nothing to be actually seen on the ground anyway. And now our believe it or not story for this week is here. According to a new theory, prehistoric man found his way across England using a navigational system based on stone circles and other markers. The complex network of stones, hill forts and earthworks allowed travellers to trek hundreds of miles with pinpoint accuracy more than 5,000 years ago. Or so says amateur historian Tom Brooks. The grid covered much of southern England and Wales and included landmarks such as Stonehenge and Silbury Hill. Mr. Brooks looked at 1,500 prehistoric sites in England and Wales and was then able to connect all of them to at least two other sites using isosceles triangles. These are the triangles that have two sides the same length. This, he says, is proof that the landmarks were deliberately created as navigational aids. Many were built within sight of each other and provided a simple way to get from A to B. For more complex journeys, they could have broken up the route into a series of easy-to-navigate steps. Anyone starting at Silbury Hill in Wiltshire, for instance, could have used the grid to get to Lanyon Point in Cornwall without a map. Mr. Brooks added, "The sides of some of the triangles are over 100 miles across, yet the distances are accurate to within 100 metres. You cannot do that by chance," he says. One of the monuments was, of course, Silbury Hill in Wiltshire. It's part of a gigantic geometric grid used for navigating. So advanced, sophisticated and accurate is the geometrical surveying now discovered that he feels that we have to review fundamentally the perception of Stone Age forebears as primitive, or conclude that they had received, and wait for it, some form of external guidance. Mike Pitts, editor of British Archaeology, said that the landscape of southern Britain is intensively settled and there are many, many earthworks and archaeological finds. It's actually quite easy to find patterns in the landscape, but it doesn't actually mean that they're real. I have to say that I do love stories like this, as it does shake up the comfortable world of archaeology. But as Mike says, if you've got enough monuments, you can pick and choose. I would actually like to see the monuments that have been missed out as well. Anyway, I'm sure we haven't heard the last of this one. Visitors to two Iron Age monuments in Angus at the weekend in Scotland have had the rare opportunity to take a guided walk of the sites. The tour of the brown and white Catahoun's hill forts, about 4 miles northeast of Brechin, was organised by Historic Scotland as part of Archaeology Month, which runs throughout September. The hill forts perch on top of two prominent hills between Brechin and Edzell and are protected by systems of earthworks and ditches. Until recently, they had been considered as two separate sites, but a report commissioned by Historic Scotland and published last year revealed that there are more similarities between them than was previously thought. Archaeologists uncovered evidence suggesting that they are part of a single unit. The findings were the results of investigations carried out in the 2,000-year-old forts over the past 3 years. Historic Scotland senior archaeologist Richard Strachan led the tour on Saturday and explained why the study was carried out. He explained that the extensive fieldwork project gave them a better understanding of the two great enclosure sites on neighbouring hills and enabled re-evaluation of our interpretation of their history. We now know that the two forts were occupied for much of the first millennium BCE and probably functioned as ceremonial centres rather than defensive structures. The two sites should actually be considered together, arguably even as parts of a single entity. We now have a much greater insight into these wonderful ancient sites and a better appreciation of them. But there are still things that we do not know, and there are still more things to discover. Again, one of the joys of archaeology, where each new discovery just highlights more opportunities to find out more. Never ever say that we know it all, I say. Archaeological discoveries dating back about 3,000 years found in Kaladai area in India are in peril. The Neolithic artefacts have ended up in private possession, prompting the State Archaeological Department to initiate a move to recover them. An archaeological enthusiast, Mr. Ali, has recovered 43 stone axes and a grinding stone from the tributary of the Periyar River. Two teachers of a private college in the region reportedly took possession of the major portion of the finds, which then prompted the archaeology department to act. Though a large number of stone tools from the Neolithic were collected from Tamil Nadu area during the second half of the 19th century, only a few were collected by the state, archaeologists say. Mr. Ali collected the axes from a paleo channel which flows through the Mekaladi near Kaladai. A number of stone tools were also recovered from the banks of another river channel nearby. The stone axes are of parabolic shape with sharp cutting edges and an average length of 15 centimetres. The cutting edge of the bigger axes has a width of 8 centimetres. The conical end of the axe also helped the user to have a tight grip on the tool and would have been connected to a piece of wood. Exactly. This is the first time that evidence of Neolithic period has been obtained in such large numbers by the state. Till now, there's only been reports of sporadic findings. The department is planning to undertake excavation in the area following these discoveries. Though the government has agreed to reward Mr. Ali for transferring the axes to the department, no serious efforts were made for conducting archaeological explorations. There are also reports of sand miners in the area collecting axes in large numbers. Most of these finds end up in the antiquities market at Mattancherry. Private collection or public ownership? It's the big question nowadays. So I'll leave you on that large question to ponder until next week and just give you some extra news about what's going on. One major initiative which has just launched in the UK is a website called Open Archive. If you go along to www.openarchive.co.uk, that was all one word, www.openarchive.co.uk, you will see the start of a revolution. What this site is trying to do is collect the wealth of data, reports and documents that have been collected by archaeological societies, community groups and even PhD students as well, and placing them onto a searchable map of the UK. This could turn into one of the major resources for research in Britain. So go along, have a look, and they are very open to suggestions about how it can be improved. I don't think we can, of course, improve upon past horizons, he says with a smile. If you want to and have not had a look at the magazine yet, then get yourself along to www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. If you've had a look at it and you know friends who might actually enjoy it as well, then why not tell them? It'll make their day. And of course, there are many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities on Badger, www.bajr.org. And this goes along with the sister organisation, Badger Federation, where you can find it at bajrfed.co.uk. I'm sure you've had enough of websites for just now, but I'm just going to give you one more because, of course, more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks again for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you will return again to us next week.